Hello, and welcome to the GK Nexus Podcast, hosted by David Scott. We are the ultimate goalkeeping network. Goalkeepers, active or retired, football coaches of all positions. Hey, even if you like the look of a top corner save, you're in the right place.
Hello and welcome along to the very first interaction podcast of the GK Nexus members area. This podcast is exclusive to you guys, our valued members, and it's going to be around Eric Steele's first video coaching session, which was footwork and shot stopping. So we posted the session over a week ago now. We wanted you guys to take your time and watch the session and discuss with the other members what you liked about the session and how you could maybe change the session and adapt the session to suit the goalkeepers you work with. And we wanted you to come back to Eric with questions on the session, because that's what Eric's here for. Eric's here for you guys to interact with. So we're going to do that. And I'm pleased to say that we're joined by Eric this morning and we're going to discuss those things. So good morning, Eric. How are you today?
Yeah, very good, David. We've got the rain in England, and I hear we've got the hailstorm in Scotland. So I'm pleased we're indoors.
That's it, exactly. So we've had good interaction from the members for the first week of the members area. So we'll just get quickly into the questions and see what you think of these guys' questions. So we had a question: how would you adapt the session for younger goalkeepers at under 10 level?
Right, well, basically what we've done in the past is you would actually shorten off all the distances, which is something that we'll come on to with the members. So if you're dealing with 8s, 9s and 10s, naturally, when you'd have seen the video, I was working in distances of probably 2.5, 3 yards. In terms of moving forwards, backwards or sideways, I'd reduce that to 1 yard. So the actual discs or flat discs that we put out, we'd just put them a yard apart so that they're only covering a smaller area. If you haven't got mannequins, sometimes you can actually use another goalkeeper. Get him to stand on his knees, and you put your hand on his shoulders and you move around the goalkeeper, which it's quite fun actually, because sometimes they end up pushing each other over. So there's a fun element to it. And then I would have the servers. There wouldn't be the distance away again. So once again, experienced coaches that we're going to develop with this lovely new GK Nexus, is you would say probably the servers where I had it from 10 yards and 15, that would narrow down to 5 and 10 at the most. And that would help, because what you're looking at is rewarding the younger goalkeepers. So if the distances are too big, they'll get tired too quickly. If they haven't got that movement where they'll have to put their hands on the shoulders of a little mate who's kneeling on the ground, you want them to have that reward. So they've got to move left or right, then get in front. So that's really all you have to do. Just put a little bit more thought into your actual session plan, but it's generally just about shortened distances, and it may be hand service as opposed to foot service. So if the coach isn't doing it, it might be a goalkeeper where he's rolling the ball in, or he's throwing underarm to aim at the midriff. And then he maybe, if he's got an overarm, he could possibly bounce the ball in. So I'm throwing the members a task to say, go on, how many different distributions could you do? So I've given you 3, and that would be the way to adapt it for younger goalkeepers.
Excellent. So we want you, the members, to come back with this. So you can, again, comment under the video and answer these. How many different distribution techniques could you do? So that kind of brings us on to another question that one of the members posted. How would you adapt the session for younger goalkeepers who cannot serve as good as older goalkeepers? So would it just be throwing techniques that would you do, or would you maybe implement some more techniques, Eric?
Oh, I would still try and say, I mean, basically, like I've always said, if you start off with a basic passing, you know, we're hoping that there can be actually side foot passing, and it might be where the coach just feeds into the, so he faces the young goalkeeper who's the server, and he has to have one touch and then just play it along the ground. So that might be the first way. Then you would encourage him to say, can you now get your toe and your lace where you get a little bit of lift onto the ball? But there's nothing wrong. And also, in terms of that, we would encourage, as coaches for GK Nexus, that you would start to encourage the using both feet. The younger you start, the better it is, the easier it will become as they progress through their age groups. A lot of people just concentrate on the good foot just to try and get the session going. Sometimes you have to sacrifice, whereby they might only get 3 out of 5 in the first week. It might be the same the second week, but you have to stay with it. You have to stay patient as a coach. So use your good foot and then bring them in slightly shorter where they can side foot with a poorer foot. then they're starting to get the coordination skills, the body movements, the body angles in relation to the ball. Your backup always is obviously a coach can do so much, but you want to try and encourage the goalkeepers to actually be starting to serve and distribute as well as actually making the saves.
That sounds brilliant, Eric, and I'm actually glad you used the word sacrifice there, because it's something we both agree on, and how sometimes sessions can be coach-centred as opposed to player-centred the way they should be, because sometimes you have to make sacrifices for the development of your goalkeeper. And you actually make reference to that in your first video presentation that we do with you, the importance of the relationship between the goalkeeper and goalkeeper coach. So members, that's to be posted on Monday the 16th of October, and trust me, that's a really, really good one that you should be looking forward to. So just moving on, let's talk about this high set position. This actually seemed to generate quite a lot of discussion, because you're going against the trend, which is what it's all about. It's about coaches having different ideas, implementing their ideas. So you're saying holding that high set position gives you so many benefits. So a question from one of our members is, do you think holding a higher set position affects the dive, as in the reaction time and the angle of the dive?
Without a doubt. I mean, if you're talking about, let me give you some stats. I've just finished first 2 days of UEFA A license, and we studied goalkeepers like Buffon, Neuer, Hart, Lloris, De Gea, Butland, Begovic, and balls hit from 18, 20 yards. The average distance the goalkeeper was from that strike, so from 18 to 20 yards, was 2 to 3 yards from the goal line. Now, if that's goalkeepers that are, in terms of size, ranging from 6'1 to 6'5, if that's what the top guys are doing, because what you're finding is, as our members are coaching and as our young goalkeepers are getting older, the ball gets quicker because people can strike it firmer, harder. So what I basically say is, are you better being prepared, set and balanced, at 1.5, 2 yards from balls from 10, as opposed to trying to get down the line? Because what down the line does very quickly is it throws your shape out. One of your feet will inevitably go forward, which means your balance then is liable to go backwards, which is why you see a lot of young goalkeepers, if they're not set and balanced, they end up pushing their foot forward, they end up falling backwards, and the ball's sliding either under them or just to the side of them. So what I'm trying to encourage is, can you get set and can you actually hold your position longer? So once you've got your position, if it's 2 yards when they're striking from 10 to 15, that's fine. That buys you reaction time. If you start going down the line further, 4 or 5 yards, you are reducing your reaction time. Plus, if we're talking about younger members being coached, David, it's important to realise, if the size at present, what's going to happen if they're the little boy in the goal and he starts coming 3, 4 yards? What's the striker going to do? They're going to go, oh, what's our easiest route here of scoring? Even in the smaller goals, they were going to be chipping that young leg. And I see a lot of that at younger age groups. So that's why we're trying to get into the goalkeepers, that when you're actually coaching them, as long as they're on an arc, which I'm going to show on my next session, as long as you're beyond the arc of the goal, which means at the end of it, as long as you're outside the line of the posts, if you make any form of parry, it will go wide of the goal. Young goalkeepers tend to want to go towards the ball. They're attracted to the ball, which is what we showed in the video. Yes. As the ball's out of feet, our goalkeepers that we use just stood firm. That's what I'm trying to encourage our younger members to do.
Excellent. And so that brings us on to kind of another question that was posed by the same member. So would your set position change depending on the position and the distance of the ball?
Yeah. The only time your set position is going to change is when is it shot stopping and when is it one-on-one? So if the actual striker places the ball out of feet and the ball goes away from him, then we're looking at the coach who would then be coaching block, smother. The modern way now is this high block, which I'm not a great lover of, as you have seen on the video. Mm-hmm. So that determines, the ball will always determine what the keeper's actions are. So if the striker's got control of the ball, I'd expect my goalkeepers to be coached to stand as long as they can. Stand big, stand set, stand balanced. And we'll come on to the three S's in a minute. If the ball gets out of feet, then the goalkeeper's got to think about then, that becomes a one-on-one then. Are we going to force him away from goal? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to smother? Are we going to be able to block? That's when that becomes, are we going to actually be able to smother, block and gather the ball? and that's another technique. But we can cover that in future sessions.
Excellent. So we had some ideas from our members on how we could progress. So for practice one, the ideas we had to progress the session was to use different colours of cones, and then the goalkeepers can then react to the different colours of cones on the coach's command. We also had implementing strikes from different angles, and we also had using small portable goals for the goalkeeper to distribute into. So what would you say to the members about them ideas?
I would say well done, members. And that really is what the session's about. I'm dealing with air licence coaches who are working at Premier League and international level at St George's Park this week. I put a session on, and the first thing I say to them, I want you to adapt them sessions. How would you do that? Now, the response we've had from the members, that's terrific. And I would agree with everything they've just said. I like the idea of the small goals. It's a great reward. So if they've done the footwork, they've made a sharp movement to the right, they've got set and balance, they've made a save, and they're going to roll the ball in. All I would say is, again, member coaches, make sure you're making the practice realistic. If you've got a 9 or 10-year-old, they ain't physically going to be able to kick longer than 10, 20 yards. So don't ask unrealistic challenges, putting the goals too far away that they never reach. So start very close again. They're getting the rewards of the catch, they can roll, or they can javelin throw, and that really under 10 years of age is probably as much as you'll get from the throwing. Put the ball on the floor, side foot, great ideas. If you can then as well start to implement goals either side, they can use the poorer foot. So I'm all in favour of the suggestions that the members have made, and long may continue. All I'm asking you to do as member coaches is look at what I'm doing and how can you adapt it differently. And so far, that's great response from the first sessions that we've done. I'm pleased with that, David.
Yes, me too, Eric. I would totally echo that statement. This is what not just the interaction podcast, but this is what this members area is all about. It's about interacting with the other members, learning from the other members, learning from their ideas, and they can then, in return, learn from you. And it's about the goalkeepers and the goalkeeper coaches interacting with you. It's about asking you questions. You're more than happy to be here for these guys to learn from, so continue with your questions, guys. This is what it's all about. It's really, really fantastic interaction so far. Well done. So we also had, you asked the members if they could implement any more distribution techniques that the goalkeepers could use. So we had flat kicks, so I take it that's kicks from the ground. Drop kicks, I'd imagine that's the kind of half volley drop kicks, and
very good. And
long throws. So would you add any more techniques into that?
Depends very much on the age. So if we're dealing with the younger age group, so let's split them at the moment and we'll get used to doing this. 8 to 12s. On that age group, everything we've just discussed would work over 20, 25 yards maximum. Where we'd actually be saying, okay, can you actually now drive a ball into the smaller goals from 20 yards? So that can be driven along the floor. Then as you progress to the next age groups, I'd be saying, put a goalkeeper 10 yards behind the goal that's 20 yards away. Can you now clip the ball? So now we're looking at going over the small goal. I would then, we've gone from 12 to 16, when you get into the 14, 15, 16, and they've been taught side-on volleys, longer throws because their strength's improving, you're then talking about putting probably small, bigger goals, hockey-sized goals, near enough halfway line, where they can be making saves and then breaking lines, which is another session we'll do, like the great Peter Schmeichel, the great goalkeepers do. They make a save, they get past the defenders, and they're looking to counter-attack. Then you're looking at a longer throw, overarm, side-on, into them hockey goals near enough halfway line. And that really, from about 14, 15, 16 years of age, is they're physically, if they've been technically taught the right way, they should be physically able to do that. So that's how we'd develop that practice.
Excellent. So for the third session, it was the shot stopping from out of the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
We had some ideas to progress that session. So we had, you could possibly move the ball out wide to encourage crosses, which would implement maybe some strikes at the goalkeeper, and you could also maybe have a rebound striker coming in as well. Yeah. So what would you say to the members about that?
I wouldn't class it as a cross. I would class it as ball played wide down the side of the box. That would be a cutback for me. If you put it wide, it becomes a cross. Then we're into crossing, defending the goal, which is another session. I would be saying, I agree. So where we have the mannequins in the wide areas, I could be saying then, I could play the ball to the player that was either on the right or the left. He then plays to somebody who's on the outside the box, drives into the byline, cuts the ball back. Then you've got your defender, you've got a cutback to deal with. Does the actual goalkeeper defend the cutback, or does he come back and defend the goal? So, good ideas. I would just class it as a cutback as opposed to a cross.
Yeah, good. So, going back to the first session, you asked a question to the coaches and nobody really came back on it, so let's just talk about it. So, the three S's. Let's talk about the three S's and why they're so important to implement into your session.
Yep, right. The whole session that we started with was the three S's. Speed, set, save. And that's the three S's I want to get into the goalkeepers from a very early age. It's vital that they have the speed element. So we've agreed, even on, like I'm back to a deal with the senior coaches from Premier League clubs on Monday, Tuesday. We all agreed, watching them great names I've just spoke about, you know, the Buffons, Neuers, De Gea's, Lloris, the one thing we could all improve is speed. To get around that goal, if the ball's quicker, how are we going to counteract that? How are we going to get in line? So the first aspect is we must be able to develop speed. That enables us then to be set and balanced. And if we've done the speed, we've done the set and balanced, that gives us the best chance to make the third S, which is the save. Mm-hmm. So you keep it simple. You can add that one. Keep it simple. Speed, set, save. And in the end, you can adapt your own. That might be mine. I used to say it's Steely's speed, set and save, which is four S's. At the end of it, you can adapt them to the coaches, to whatever they think. But that's the three S's I always work on, no matter what age group I'm working with.
That sounds great, Eric. So members, we want to set your challenge this week. We want you to go away and implement the three S's into your sessions. So the three S's, speed, set and save. We want you to go away, implement them into your sessions and see how you get on. And what we also want you to do is send us some videos. Of course, go down the right channels, get the permissions from the parents, etc. But take some videos, take some pictures, send us in your feedback. How did the goalkeepers respond? And we, in return, will give you some feedback on that too. So we're coming towards the end now of the first interaction podcast. I'd like to thank the members for their interaction over the last week. It's been absolutely fantastic. And hopefully in the coming weeks, with the more sessions, the more presentations, the interaction will continue to grow. So Eric, are you pleased with how the interactions went over the last week?
Fantastic. I really am. Some of the we've got some professional coaches working at amateur level. I like to hear that. We're always sponges. That's another S. Here we go, another S. Be a sponge. Be prepared to learn. Be prepared to suck in information then. I'm still learning now. So I'm learning from members even this morning on the questions that they've posed. And that's what we want you to do. We can all learn together. And I hope that you've enjoyed the sessions that we've done and it gives you a taste of what's really going to be coming on all of the season on GK Nexus.
That's fantastic, Eric. And I love how you made reference to we can all learn together, because that's another reason that this unique members area has been launched, because we can all learn together, but all on the same pathway, whether it's in trying to improve as a goalkeeper or trying to improve as a coach. So, Eric, thank you once again for joining us today. Members, we want you to go away this week. We want you to listen to the podcast again a few times. We want you to look at the video coaching session again and implement new ideas into the sessions. And remember, we set you that task. We want you to implement the three S's into your sessions, and we want you to send us some feedback on that. So, it's Monday. Have a great week with your goalkeepers. And we will see you next Monday, October 9th, for Eric's second video coaching session, where he does a session on basic plyometrics and building to distance diving. Have a great week, guys. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our GK Nexus podcast. To hear more goalkeeping chit-chat, just dive towards that subscribe button. And don't forget to come and join in with the chat on our social media pages, which you can find on our website, www.gknexus.com.